Burks, why don't you come up at this time? We're glad to have Brother Burks with us. He's going to be with us, of course, in our service tonight. He's going to be with RU tomorrow and then do a training, and he'll be with us on Sunday morning, and so we're glad to have him. Brother Burks, why don't you come preach to us?
Thank you, Pastor, so much. What a joy to be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. Thank you, Pastor Myers. We were in Bible college together, and so grateful to be with him and his dear wife and family, and to be here at Pacific Baptist Church. Amen? And we've been praying for you guys. We're so thankful for what God's doing here. And we're excited about preaching God's word to you tonight. Before we get into the message text tonight, turn to Matthew chapter number 7. I love the theme of your yearly theme here, a firm foundation. Of course, we know that's Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's why RU works here, because it's not a what, it's a who that this world needs. His name is Jesus Christ. It's not 12 steps, it's not 10 steps, it's Jesus Christ is who they need. And we find all about that in God's word. And that firm foundation, this is something I've been thinking about the last few days, and I just wanted to share with you. Matthew chapter number 7 starts at verse number 24 with the word, therefore. And, one of these days, the previous text talks about there'll be people that will have a false profession of faith in Christ. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And he encourages us here to have that firm foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which builds his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Did you notice? There are two foundations here they built on.
Yes, sir.
One was the rock, and one was the sand. And so many times we read this passage, as I did for many years, thinking, well, that rock is Jesus, or that rock is the Word of God. But when you understand the context of this verse, what is the rock? I'll tell you is. It's the man that hears God's Word and does them. That's what it says. It says it's like the rock is the man that hears the word of God and then does what it says. Amen?
Amen.
That man is like a man that builds his house upon a rock. And when you hear God's word, and I hope I'm going to preach God's word tonight, and I pray that you'll realize this is for me. God's got something for me tonight. Because the truth is, with this story, everybody's going to get storms in their life. The storms is going to come to everybody.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you see that of the person who has their house built on a rock, and you see that with the person who has their house built on the sand. The storms come in life.
Yes, sir.
Souls on the streets addicted to sin, selling themselves to survive, not understanding the hope they can have in a place where God's love is alive. They doubt that they can meet the standards necessary, and they feel they find rejection rather than a sanctuary. But this must be the place where broken hearts can mend. This must be the place where the outcast can find a friend. For we cannot reach the fallen if our hand still holds the stone, and the sin that seems so great to us is no greater than our own. There must be a point where shame meets grace, and this must be the place. Amen?
Amen.
And those storms come. And some people don't, they can't deal with it because they don't have their house built on the rock. And when the storms come, it falls apart. And they smoke it away and drink it away and sniff it away and snort it away and shop it away and sleep it away. And whatever their life is built on is not going to withhold unless it's built on the rock. Amen? We do know that Jesus is the rock, and we understand the context here, but at the very base roots, it's talking about hearing God's word and then doing what he says.
Yes, sir.
In the word of God. And so let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll turn in the Bible to our text tonight. Father, in just a few moments, I pray you'll help me as I deliver the message that you gave for me tonight to Pacific Baptist Church. Thank you for Pastor Ms. Myers, and thank you for this church. And Lord, in just a little bit, I'll be done and turn it back over to the pastor to make application for his people in a fitting way, Lord. And I pray each of us would be open to the Holy Spirit of God to let God speak to us in the message tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn over in the book of 1 Corinthians, where your text is about the firm foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And we'll read the text, then we're going to take a trip back a little bit and look at a few passages of Scripture. But there's a particular story here in the Bible. The only time in the Bible the word addicted is mentioned in the Bible is in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. It's talking about the household of Stephanas. They were addicted to the ministry. Addicted to the ministry. And as I look at this passage, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, and they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." Now, when I read this passage, my mind begins to be flooded with the very first lesson that I heard with the RU program was 18 years ago in Lynchburg, Virginia, where I was a full-time evangelist. And Dr. Paul Kingsbury, the co-founder of RU, came there, and he talked about lives that were being transformed. I mean, we have a privilege to see so many people. We have right now somewhere in the neighborhood of 90,000 people that attend the program every single week around the world. It's quite amazing to watch what God's doing. Over 1,100 churches in the United States run the program, and then we have over 1,000 churches outside of the United States running the program, and 39 different foreign countries. And the stories, you never get tired of them, because when Jesus changes the life, isn't it wonderful? My wife says often that Jesus is the best beauty cream out there. Amen. I mean, he changes you from the inside out. That transformation takes place when you begin to stand on that rock and make decisions based upon the Word of God. And in fact, we have just had our conference a week ago in Rockford and had 1,000 people there, and God blessed in an amazing way. And we had a man in our church. His name is Randy Randazzo. And Randy walked into our Friday night class, and God began to work in his heart, and he got saved, and he got baptized, and he started going through the RU materials. And he's a very selfish man all of his life. He's divorced, got several children, and God changed his life. And then all of a sudden, he began to be burdened for his daughter. His daughter's name is Randy, Randy Randazzo, and she lived in the Baltimore, Maryland area. And he was really burdened for his daughter. Well, he'd stand up on Friday night and give a testimony, and somehow that testimony would always be turned toward Randy. And y'all pray my daughter's able to get here. That happened several weeks. And finally, one Friday night, he said that she had gotten stabbed, but she was going to live, but she had gotten stabbed on the streets. And our RU director got really burdened that night for Randy, and we wanted to try to get her to Rockford to come to our ladies' home there. And so Brother Johnny said, you know, by faith, I'm gonna ask you tonight to participate so we can try to raise the money so she could come and be in our ladies' home. And the one guy got up from right here in the front and walked over to Johnny and gave him a $5 bill. Another got up from the third row and walked over and gave him a $50 bill. And that went on for 15, 20 minutes, and he collected over $2,000 that night to get her where she needed to be. And you could just sense the move of God in that place. I never forget when this was going on, Johnny looks over at Ken and says, "Looks like we're going to go get your daughter, bud." And that by the time that weekend was over, the first part of the next week, they took a trip to Maryland and picked her up and brought her back to the ladies' home. And boy, she wasn't able to go to our ladies' home. She had to go straight to the hospital because of all the toxicants that were in her body. And we had a staff there with her night and day for 2 weeks to get stabilized, to come into our home. And she came into our home, and within just a short period of time, she received Jesus Christ as her Savior and got baptized and began to grow. And she graduated in 6 months from the program, and she started in our grad program. And it wasn't long before, on a Wednesday night, she stood up and she said, "I just talked to Pastor Kingsbury, and I'm wanted in 2 states, and I've got quite a few charges I'm facing." And God, she began to cry, and she said, "God's done some amazing work inside of me." And she said, "I have to make restitution. I have to make things right with those people that I have done wrong. I have to face what I've got before me, and I can do that. I know God's with me. I know He's going to help me, and y'all pray for me." And she made that announcement, and her dad drove her back to Maryland and went to the police department, turned herself in, and they were dumbfounded. They couldn't believe it. In fact, the next day she showed up in the courtroom, and the judge was like, "Did you get arrested? Did you get pulled over? I mean, how did you end up here?" And she says, "Your Honor, I went through this program, and I met Jesus Christ, and He changed my life." Amen. And she began to tell her story, and he says, "Well, I don't think you're ever going to get out of jail or prison." He said, "You're not wanted in just 2 states. You're wanted in 4 states, and you've got enough charges against you that you'll never get out. You've got 4 lifetime sentences or more." And the truth was, if she got the minimum, if all the charges stuck in those 4 states, she had enough charges for 1,117 years in prison. Wow. I mean, they had a ring of people that would steal cars and take them apart and sell the parts. And she was good at stealing people's purses and stealing their identity and just draining them dry. And she grew up, you know, that was her life. 4 different states. She had gun charges. One, the number one thing she had to deal with, and that's where she turned herself in, was because she skipped parole. That's automatic 10 years in that where she was. And I mean, all this was against her, but you know, we started praying for her as a church family, and she would write us back, and she'd make a phone call back to our ladies' home and talk to the leadership. And she's like, "Man, I got a captive audience in here. I've won 17 girls to Christ." And she's so excited. And God began to work for this girl. I don't have time tonight to tell you the story, but I mean, one state after the next state after the next state. I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. Maybe it tells you how messed up our judicial system is. I don't know. But that girl, every single charge was dismissed, and all she did was 4 months in jail and $2,200. That's all him. In fact, the first judge that she went to for 22 charges of theft, of stealing people's identity, 22 charges. His identity was stolen 6 months before. And he says, "I've got a conflict of interest, so I have no choice. I want to put you away for 10 years. She said, "But I have no choice but to take the plea deal, and I'm going to give you 6 months in jail and $22,000. She did 4 months, and then during that 4 months, the $22,000, the bank sent her a letter saying, "You only owe $2,200. We got our insurance money, so we're not allowed to take any more money." And so she only paid $2,200 and 4 months. And during that time, the other 3 states dropped their charges because they're thinking, "We're never going to see this girl. She's never going to get out of prison in Maryland." And so they dropped all those charges. You know, when God fights for you, my friend, and you begin to build on that rock, He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's going to take care of you. Amen? And the truth is, whether she spent the rest of her life in prison or whatever God wants her to do, boy, and now she's in Bible college, I'm telling you, God's going to use that girl in a special way. And God is a master at taking lives like that. But you've got to understand, you're going to be addicted to someone or something other than Jesus Christ if you don't grasp this truth of being addicted to Him. Amen?
Yeah.
I tell you, He wants all of it. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And in this story here, we've got a family that was addicted to the ministry. Now, when I read 1 Corinthians, I remind myself of Paul wrote this letter back to the church of Corinth. They've got a mess going on. Paul was there a year and a half, and then he left. And now there's immorality in the church, and there's some things that shouldn't be in the church. And these men come to find Paul, and he writes this letter, and he sends it back with them. In chapter number 6, he begins to explain what's going on in the church or what the church was like before that time. Chapter 6, verse 9. Turn back there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." That's the word porneia. It's an addiction. Many times in the Bible when you see words of addiction, immorality is always at the top of the list. In Galatians chapter 5, the first four words all deal with immorality. And young men, keep your minds pure, amen? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he says, fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. That's our word kleptos, where we get our word kleptomania from. Thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look at verse 11. And such were some of you. Amen. You know, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic is a lie. You can be made free and be free indeed. Amen?
Amen?
You can. Such were some. Not that way anymore. You've been transformed. You've been changed, thank God. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change in my life since I've been born again. And so I see here that this church, he writes back. Now, I don't know. I don't know if Stephanas was a thief. I don't know if he was a fornicator. I don't know if he was a covetous. I'm not real sure. I do know that Paul reached Stephanas. In fact, go back in your Bibles to chapter number 1. Look at chapter number 1, verse number 16. Verse 16. Paul says this. He says, "And I baptize also the household of Stephanas, besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." He said, "I know that family. I baptized them. They got saved. They got baptized. They grew." And then at the end of this letter, he gives us some things about being addicted to the ministry. He gives us some things here, and we'll tell you, this is not a self-help program. This is a God-help program. Amen? This is not a self-help book. This is a God-help book. And so it falls right in line with the Great Commission. I mean, what part of creatures don't you understand? Amen? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. That's all of them. And so I want to take tonight and take this text of chapter number 16, if you'll turn back there. And I just want to, in our Bible study tonight, I want to take this passage and show you some things about this family that was addicted to the ministry. Because that's really our goal. We want to get them saved, we want to get them baptized, and we want to get them serving in and through a local New Testament church. And man, that's what makes the thing work. Amen?
Yeah.
The local church is God's support group to minister to addicted people.
Amen.
And I hope with a boldness here tonight, you'll leave saying everything that pertains to life and godliness is in this book right here, and we've got the answers.
Yes, sir.
And we can get bold in our community. We can see people doing wrong things and we can say, hey, how's that working for you? That's a great question, amen? Hey, how's that working for you? Hey, we got a program at our church that meets on Friday night. I can help you with that. And just get bold and invite them to come to the church, to come to the Friday night class, because the Friday night class is the bridge to get them in the local church. And when I speak on this subject about being addicted to the ministry tonight, I'm not just talking about RU. I mean, there's thank God for all the ministries of this church, and thank God for the soul winning. I like what the gentleman said a while ago, that he takes his whole family out soul winning. Amen. We're going to see that in this passage. So let's look at it piece by piece and walk through it here a little bit and try to be an encouragement to you tonight. This family was addicted to the ministry and they served. And here's some characteristics that you and I need to adopt, especially with Father's Day coming up. These are some characteristics that ought to be on our hearts and minds that have to do with the RU Recovery Program in your church. Number one, look at verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the household of Stephanas. Number one, their ministry was obvious. You know the household of Stephanas. Their ministry was obvious. Everybody knew it. I wonder if I passed out 3x5 cards tonight and said, take that 3x5 card and take a pen or pencil and write down the servant, a servant from your church. Just somebody that serves the Lord in your church, write their name down. Now, I believe this is an exceptional church. So it wouldn't be like many, many churches, because in many, many churches, what I would find out is two things. Number one, I would find out the same people's names on those cards. It may be 5 or 6. It may be 8 or 10. Somebody said that there's 20% of the church that does the work and the other 80% let them do it, you know. They just watch them do it. I don't think that's true here. I think this is an exceptional church. I'm sure it is. But the second thing I would find out on those cards is if your name would be on there or not. Because their ministry was obvious. Sir, would your name be on there? Would somebody write your name down because you're faithful to a soul-winning class or soul-winning program, or you're faithful in this ministry or that Sunday school class or this, and you're faithfully serving the Lord? Because their ministry was obvious, amen? I think that's a great characteristic, and that's something for us to think about, that our entire life, our ministry ought to be obvious. Amen. Well, I pray. I'm glad you pray. But there's something about ministry that's obvious. Number two, I see a second thing here in the Bible. Not only is their ministry obvious, but look what it says. Ye know the household of Stephanas. Number two, their ministry was plural. You see it? The household of Stephanas. It didn't just say Mr. Stephanas. It said the whole house. Yeah. Mom, dad, the kids, all of them. Well, I think we ought to serve the Lord together. Amen? Amen. I've been doing RU for 19 years, and my kids are all real, real small. When we first started, we started a program there in Lynchburg, and then I moved to Rockford and became the co-director there with Brother Steve Currington. And my kids are all little. I remember the days when we'd leave church on Friday night, and little Caleb, my little bitty boy, would walk out the front door, and he'd go, what's that smoke, you know? And because we'd have a couple students to go outside and smoke a cigarette, you know. By the way, they don't smoke cigarettes anymore. There was a place of grace that they could come, and now they're deacons in the church, amen? And now they take the offerings, and now they serve the Lord. There's got to be a place of grace. Now, we don't let them smoke in the buildings. They learned to serve the Lord together. We went soul winning together. We went visiting together. And thank God all my kids are still serving the Lord today and in full-time, two of them are in full-time Christian service, and the one is works for WordPress and a faithful member of our church. But I'm telling you, the ministry needs to be plural, amen? Yep. Serve the Lord together. Get in there together. So many times I find wives that pull a husband out of the ministry, or men that pull the wife out. When I got married to my wife, I told her before I ever got married, I said, I want you to know my job is to help you reach your potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, us getting married is not going to be all about me. God's got a will for your life, and God's got a potential for your life, and I want to help you get that for the Lord. Amen? Amen. And she is, and she has, our ministry is plural. Our ministry is obvious, and that's the Bible example here. Number three, let me give you the third thing, verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. The first fruits. So I wrote this down. Their ministry was tenured. They were tenured in the ministry. They wasn't Johnny come lately. They just didn't start for a few months and quit, or do it for a year and then quit, or do it for a couple of years and quit. Boy, I just so thrilled today when Pastor Myers picked me up and we went out to eat together. You know what? The thought on my mind is, thank God we've served the Lord in college together, and we're both in the ministry today. We're both serving the Lord today. Amen? Amen. There's something about that. There's something encouraging about that. Yes, it's real. It's real. I know it's real. But it doesn't look real when we just start something and quit and start and quit and start and quit and start and quit. Their ministry was tenured. The first fruits. When your converts break your heart, get back to work. When your chapter falls apart, get back to work. When RU is just no fun and no challenges are being done and away you'd like to run, just get back to work. When your student is a crook and when your only car they took, and when your counsel group's unkind and the disciples rob you blind and no peace or joy you find, get back to work. When your church just doesn't care and when no one your load will share and when the burdens large have grown and no love or grace are shown and you think you're all alone, just get back to work. When each day brings more bad news, when your counsel they refuse, when your wife for you won't cook and church folks give you a dirty look and your phone rings off the hook, just get back to work. When you've had all you can take, when your spirit seems to break, when you struggle neath your cross and all your gains have turned to loss and you'd like to just say, no moss, get back to work. When you truly like to quit, when you're mad enough to spit, when the ministry is tough and the road ahead looks rough and you've really had enough, just get back to work. Yeah. Strength will come with each new day. You'll reap if you faithfully stay. Victory is on the way. Answers come to those who pray. Faithful service he'll repay. Get back to work. Souls are perishing each hour. God can save them by his power. Faithful servants in their place still are strengthened by his grace. If by faith we run the race, get back to work. Harvest fields we still can reap. God's commission we must keep. Lost souls we must seek to win and rescue them from hell and sin and bring the hurting Christians in. Get back to work. Labor's our calling now, till all knees before him bow. Rest comes on the other side once we cross the swelling tide, till in heaven we abide. Just get back to work. Amen. I challenge you, get back to work. Yeah, I got hurt in that ministry. Get back to work. Just get back to work. Well, I just don't know. I told the preacher today, I've been meditating on Matthew 28, 19, 20, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19, verse 18 says, you know, the disciples, many of them believed, but some doubted. Some doubted. You know the next words say? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. There's an omniscient God. Amen? And then it gives the Great Commission, and then it ends with, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. You know what it is? That's the I'm not present God. He's all, if the all-powerful God is always with you, then why in the world can't the Great Commission get done?
Come on.
We got to stay at the work.
Yes, sir.
We got to be filled with the Spirit and watch him use us in ministry. Amen?
Yes.
And that ministry, what does that ministry look like? That ministry is obvious. That ministry is plural. That ministry is tenured. Then the words, they were addicted. They addicted themselves. There in the verse number 14, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Their ministry was continual. They addicted themselves to the ministry. You know that word addiction, same word is translated a different word in the Bible. In Luke 7, verse 8, it's a man that was set under authority. The word set, he was determined. He was appointed. And you know, they decided, I'm determined. Boy, I've met some addicts. And when they start a crack addiction or opioid addiction, man, they're still from their grandma to get that going. You know what I'm saying? They get determined. They know no bounds. And then when it's all over, they're like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I. And there ought to be somebody that says, you know what? I need to be addicted to the work of God. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Just sold out for him. Just surrender to him and his will for my life. There was continual. It didn't stop. Notice the next thing in verse 15 and 16. Verse 16, he says, submit yourself unto such. You know, their ministry was worthy of leadership. He's telling the church now, submit yourself to those guys. In other words, now they are in charge of a ministry. Now other people are looking to them for leadership. And you know how that happens? You know how that happens, 15-year-old and 16-year-old and 19-year-old and 22-year-old? As you find a ministry, you get plugged in there and you stay there and you pray for that and you serve the Lord faithfully. You know what happens? Next thing you know, oh, we're going to do this over here and I'm going to put this person in charge of it who's been faithful, and they're going to come over here now and they're going to do this, and we're going to have 20 other people from the church work with them, and all of a sudden now they become the leaders. They become Sunday school teachers. They become bus captains. They become ministry leaders in the church.
Sir.
You got to take these three or four things I've already said to heart. And then it's amazing how God does that. Brother Myers and I both know the story of Dr. Ray Young. I mean, you know, he's just so funny when you hear him talk. And he talks about just showing up at college from redneck from Louisiana, you know. And, yeah, I guess I can do that. I guess I can do that. And just little by little by little by little until he's running bus routes all over the city of Chicago. And God's using him in a phenomenal way because he's just at the right place at the right time doing the right thing in the Lord and for the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
And, boy, I tell you, there's something special about that. Stay faithful right here in Long Beach. Don't let some job move you away because they moved away. Man, alive, there's something more important than a job. It's Jesus. Amen.
Yes,
I'm not saying that maybe you shouldn't leave, but y'all at least get some counsel on it and look into the thing. And not, there's more to life than just where you work.
Amen.
Their ministry was continual. Their ministry was worthy of leadership. Notice the next words there, because these are important words as you look down there a little bit more. They submit yourself unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. There's the word. Their ministry was hard work. Amen?
Yep.
It always is. It always is hard work. But boy, I tell you, one of these days we're going to get to heaven. And we've got the potential to hear the word straight from the one who died on the cross for us, was buried, rose again. Well done,
yep.
Thou good and faithful
servant.
It didn't say sitter. It said servant.
Yep.
Well done, thou good. You know, he who wins with the most toys does he who dies with the most toys does not win. It's he who dies with the dirtiest towel wins. Amen? Good. The one that serves.
Yep.
Who are you serving this week? I wonder how many people in the room have got a list of lost people that you're praying for. I mean, he didn't tell us to be isolated from the world. He told us to be insulated from the world. And there ought to be a list of people. I got 19 people on my list right now. Several of them are my neighbors. And man, I am praying for opportunity to win these people to Christ. I've already witnessed to many of them, and they're just not quite ready. But man, I'm praying for them, and I am praying for opportunities to get them the gospel.
Amen.
Do you have anybody like that? Anybody at work? Anybody that, for the big day coming up, any dads out there this week that you might be able to get to come to church to get a free gift for Father's Day and then take them out to eat on Sunday? I'm just saying, you can come and sit, but it's a whole lot more blessed to come and serve, amen? And to bring somebody with you and watch what God does in their life. That's what happened to this family. I think they were in the list of chapter number 6. We're talking about Sin City. We're talking about LAX. We're talking about Vegas. I mean, that's kind of what Corinth was all about. He says, I remember that family. I just kind of believe he remembers that family because that old Stephanas was he's something else. But God changed his life. And by the way, we all were something else, and God changed our lives. Amen? There wasn't one spark in you and me that God could use to save us. Not one spark. He had to give to every man a measure of faith just so we could be saved. There wasn't nothing in us that God could use to save us. So he gave us faith, a measure of faith, so we could be saved. Isn't he a wonderful God? A ministry worthy of leadership. It was hard work. And then let me give you the last ones here, and we're done. Notice what it says in this passage. I am glad, verse 17, for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Man, when I read those words, I'm like, why? Wow. In other words, they served, and maybe they were involved in more than really what they could handle. But don't criticize them, he said, because they were doing some of the things they were doing because some people wouldn't do nothing. Now be careful getting up, you know, somebody sings a special in your church and, you know, that person. You're like, oh man, they don't have a very good voice. Well, maybe it's because the person with the good voice won't stand up and sing. Or you go soul winning with somebody and they're not real good at that. Well, maybe God uses them because the good person won't show up and come.
Come on. Yes, sir.
And he says, what was lacking on your part, they supplied. And he's writing this whole church back and said, before you want to get critical about the ones who do serve and maybe the ones who are always on the list, don't be real critical to them. Because maybe they're always on the list, those 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 names, because nobody in the church will do it.
That's right.
Same people are serving the nursery every week.
Yep.
I mean, you wonder when can a nursery worker get a break? Because it might be because the people that could and should won't even sign up to help a little bit. Or junior church or bus route or... As I begin to think about this sermon, it starts to show in my life and in our life sometimes, it starts to show some interest in other areas and some weaknesses in our own Christian life. Because all sin's addictive. And sometimes I think we just remember those five or six bad ones and we let some of the other. I think many times we don't really understand that a lot of addictions is nothing more than idol worship. And idolatry is not where you cease to worship. It's the object of your worship being someone or something other than God. It could be a TV program that you just have to watch. It could be a yard that you have to always be in or a vehicle that you have to have. And nothing wrong with those things. But surely if you're addicted to them instead of Him, there's a problem. There's a problem. I hope God takes this text tonight and just says, you know what? I want to pray for that RU program. And I want to see some more Stephanuses in our community reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and get in here and be addicted to the ministry. Amen? Yeah, it might be a couple of you say, you know, I'm going to show up tomorrow night to open house and just see what that whole thing's all about. I bet some of you have never even seen a Friday night class. I'm looking forward to being there tomorrow night. I don't think the pastor would be upset if some of you showed up.
Amen.
I don't think you'll ever forget it when you hear those testimonies and hear what God's doing. Addicted to the ministry. Pastor, would you come and do as the Lord? Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a minute.